It may be early in the morning, especially where I am in Santiago, Chile, but it's always time to go exploring.
You're listening to Outdoor Pursuits with me, Jade Quinn McDonald, broadcasting from the unceded land of the Musqueam people, recorded on the unceded land of the Mapuche people, indigenous to South America.
Later today, I'm going to be headed to a giant mall called Mall Sport, where they have indoor standing waves, a bunch of other stuff I've heard, and I'm going to be interviewing Felipe Vasquez, who owns some bike stores here in Santiago. He does importing and exporting, and he's going to talk to us about what he does in the community and maybe some travels abroad. He frequents Crankworks every now and again in Whistler, so yeah, we're going to chat to him about that. Right now I'm in Antonia Lopez del Bello, and I'm just walking down the street. Lots of bikers. I'm thinking I might have to approach some bikers and obviously with their consent, ask them a few questions and see if we can get those on the podcast. Okay, lots of traffic here. I'm going to go. I'm here with three bikers, and we're going to ask them some questions about the culture. ¿Hay pistas como downhill o más como cross country?
Downhill. Hay pistas de downhill.
¿Downhill?
Hay de los dos, porque San Cristóbal es como un cerro bien polivalente. Tiene para cross country, XC, ¿cómo se llama el otro?
¿Como enduro?
Sí, off-road. ¿Sí? Tiene bien polivalente, tiene de todo. Entonces, es lo mejor de...
Vale. ¿Y hay teleférico?
El teleférico funciona solamente para personas, peatones.
Tenéis que...
pedalear.
Sí.
Tenemos que subir pedaleando, exactamente. O, de lo contrario, hay un bus, que es el que te lleva hacia arriba.
¿Y vosotros tomáis el bus?
Por lo general tomamos el bus, ¿por qué? Porque las bicicletas de nosotros, las que tenemos, son solamente para bajar, sí, para hacer descenso.
Sí, sí.
Para pedalear es muy pesado, o sea, el pedaleo.
Esa es de enduro.
Sí.
Esa puede subir y bajar, es más...
Qué?
Pero estas no.
Estas, sí.
Estas no, son... El piñón es muy chico, la relación, entonces, sí, al hacer mucha fuerza, se puede cortar la cadena.
Ah.
Y aparte, no están hechas, diseñadas para una pedaleada cómoda.
Sí.
Se dañan las rodillas para el pedalear hacia
arriba. Ah, sí, porque el asiento está
muy bajo.
Ah,
sí. Sí.
¿Esto es la tuya?
De enduro.
Sí.
De
él. A él. Hola. ¿Cómo te llamas?
Ronnie.
¿Donny?
Ronnie.
¿Cómo te encuentras bajando con ellos que tengan el bici de downhill? ¿Es lo mismo?
¿En relación de que la mía es enduro y la de ellos es downhill?
Sí.
No, también depende harto del rider.
Sí.
Va en las capacidades de la misma persona.
Uh-huh.
En cómo la bicicleta está seteada también.
Sí.
Porque mi bicicleta es de enduro, pero sí tiene una horquilla de 180 que igual le ayuda al recorrido de en bajada.
Sí, bravo.
Sí, bombea mucho mejor.
Sí.
Pero...
Wow.
Oh. Eso es un velorio.
¿Esto es costumbrario para los...?
Por lo general, cuando muere una persona, ocurre eso. ¿Cachai? Viene una caravana de vehículos que lo escoltan, digamos, al cementerio.
¿Con familia y...?
Con los familiares.
Amigos,
y conocidos.
Un cementerio acá a la vuelta.
Ah, vale.
Aquí al costado hay un cementerio.
Gracias, chicos. Muchas gracias. What you just heard was an excerpt from the chat I had with three locals about the bike culture in Santiago. I gathered that the city has pretty variable terrain, so there's all types of biking, like downhill, XC, and enduro. Right in the downtown core on San Cristobal Hill,
There's some mountain bike routes, but it's mostly for hiking and road biking. Evidently, downhill bikes aren't built for a comfortable climb, so those guys usually take the bus up. Two of them had full double crown downhill bikes, but one of them, Ronnie, had an enduro set up. So I asked what it was like going down with his buddies who had the full big rigs, and he seemed to believe that it was mainly dependent on the skills of the rider. Very stoic of him. And on the tail end of that, the honking was left in on purpose, wasn't a traffic jam. I learned that that's traditional when someone passes away. On the way to the funeral, there's a procession of cars that honk in honor of their departed. So now we're going to get into my main interview with Felipe Vasquez. Again, we're going to chat about his career in the bike industry and his lifestyle in Chile, how he sees the industry developing, and where he'd like to see it go.
Megamall's debut EP, Escape from Lizard City, goes live on Friday, July 1st. Buy the cassette and lyric book on Bandcamp or stream wherever you listen to music. For the last 2.5 years, you could avoid everyone except yourself. Welcome to Lizard City. Oh, I see the love that can overtake.
You know what I could go for right now? Authentic flour tortillas pan-fried until golden brown.
Yum!
Or vegan taco kits filled with traditional Mexican chilies and spices.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or how about vegan potato and chorizo taquitos?
How can I get these foods immediately?
Buy Lita's Mexican Foods.
Sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Lita's Mexican Foods is a female-managed, plant-based Mexican food innovator in BC. Their products come prepackaged and frozen at tons of local grocery stores around Metro Vancouver. Not to mention they can be cooked in under 10 minutes.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. I've been so busy lately and dinner takes so long to make. Where can I get my hands on some Lita's Mexican Foods?
Lots of places. Whole Foods, Choices, Stong's, Vegan Supply, Donald's, and even UBC Bookstore. Hey, where are you going?
To buy some Lita's Mexican Foods. See you later.
See ya.
Just a few words before I go to sleep. I feel like I'm gonna dream tonight. Big bad ones, you know? The kind you like.
There is a lot of music out there, but only some is strange enough for you. My name is B, and on SlimeWire, I do the work for you, picking out freaky tunes to rule your nighttime world. So check it out, every Wednesday at 10 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional unceded territory of the Musqueam people.
Welcome to Outdoor Pursuits on Location. We're here in Santiago, Chile at Mall Sport, a big sporting mall that has a huge climbing wall, standing wave. They've got a pump track. I'm watching some big inflatable rolling toys. Looks like a, what is that? What would you call that?
It's like, I would say that they call it the pond. It's not like yeah. La Laguna.
La Laguna.
And usually there's a lot of like sailboats parked for people to see yeah. and buy.
Totally. Okay, so I'm here with my guest, Felipe Vasquez. Do you wanna introduce yourself?
Felipe. I've been riding bikes since I was 10 years old. I'm 51. I work in the industry. Still ride bikes pretty much every day.
Yeah, you're up this morning?
Yeah, pretty much. I was doing some downhill laps on the big toy. And I'm married, two kids.
Nice.
Yeah, life is good.
Was that picture with your kids this morning?
No. Three friends,
nice.
Three girlfriends.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. I was feeling like Charlie's Angel in the morning.
Yeah, nice. So, you said you started biking when you were 10.
Mm-hmm.
Did you grow up in this area?
No, I grew up in Viña del Mar. It's like 2 hours drive from here.
Okay.
Actually, maybe these days it's less than that, but yeah, it's like 120 km from here.
Okay.
And I start with BMX. Pretty much every old school mountain biker started.
That's where you get the technical stuff.
Yeah, BMX, but on the racetrack, not BMX like stunt stuff.
Like
no. That came like 10 years after.
Okay.
You know. I'm putting you up to speed.
Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's when we hook up with my brother. We start with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's 2 years younger than me. And
younger,
then we hook up with mountain bikes. With bikes. And then in 88, 89, I think I laid my leg over the first mountain bike that we saw here. And that was a Norco.
Okay. You'll always remember the first.
And 1 year after, I sold my BMX and got a crappy Bianchi mountain bike. I mean, not a crappy at the time, but I remember that we had to swap the fork like once a month. Yeah, the warranty guys were not happy with how we were riding those. At the time, we didn't use helmets as well. It's like helmets were
scary.
Kind of mandatory when you race, but usually, when we were not racing, we were like head, like no helmets. Maybe a hat, you know. And at those times, helmets were crappy.
Yeah,
like the ventilation didn't exist pretty much.
Oh, just like a bucket.
Pretty much like a BMX bucket.
Yeah.
And it was not funny, but riding bikes on the trails were like something totally different.
Yeah.
If you came from BMX and short tracks and those. At the time, I think tracks were still not that evolved in the BMX.
Yeah.
So these days are way more fun than
right.
used to, you know.
Yeah.
And mountain bike were like something totally different,
mm-hmm.
and pretty much an adventure every time.
Yeah.
And we started discovering trails all around. That was Santiago already. We moved here when we were like 12 years old.
And did your parents bike? Your dad or mom?
My dad like pushed us into BMX.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Wanted you to do a sport?
He liked to bike, but mm-hmm. like on the road.
Yeah.
And he liked to do moto, like on the trails.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was not like a mountain bike guy, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't see that at the time.
Yeah.
And probably he would if we had the chance.
Yeah.
But
so you moved here?
We moved here around, I don't know, the year, but we were 12, 13 years
mm-hmm.
old. And we kept doing BMX, and then when I was 18, I tried the first bike,
mm-hmm.
first mountain bike,
mm-hmm.
and everything started from that point.
Yeah,
we were maybe the pioneering mountain bike here.
Nice.
The races were like, I don't know, 100 racers at
a
time.
Okay.
These days you find, I don't know, huge amount of enduro races.
Yeah,
can gather 600 guys.
Yeah,
every race. You know,
that's crazy.
From different ages, downhill 300 guys. Cross country you can find. There's a few races that have 2,000 races at a time.
So, just for some of the listeners who might not be super well versed in biking terminology, do you want to describe like the differences between cross country, enduro, and downhill, just briefly?
Okay, cross country is a race that every racer starts at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and the first guy crossing the finish line is the winner.
Mm.
And there's a lot of kind of races in cross country.
Mm-hmm.
You have Olympic cross country,
right.
you have marathon cross country,
uh-huh.
you have short track cross countries. and there's a few like show races. Uh-huh. Actually, these guys here have been holding a few races inside the mall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
No way.
Going out and in and wooden obstacles.
That's
and stuff
crazy.
Like that. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
And then enduro is.
And then enduro
timed
is
down,
same,
right?
Kind of is the same. Is the same as enduro in motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
You have liaisons, and you have to connect different points with a certain amount of time mm-hmm. as a limit.
Okay.
And then the time zones are pretty much going down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a few flats and few short climbs in the middle. But you add all the timing sections mm-hmm. and the shortest time is a winner.
Oh, okay, interesting. And that is catered more toward the downhill, right? The downhill is much more important.
Totally.
Yeah.
You have to be skilled, but you have to be fit as well. So
that's interesting.
You have to be skilled for sure.
And then lastly, downhill racing and just downhill
racing.
General.
I would say it's like the Formula One cars, but for mountain biking.
Yeah.
And pretty much all the development come from there in suspensions, in brakes, in frames, in geometry.
Mm-hmm.
I still do that, still love it, and still do some races.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the thing that probably. Interested in most during the season when the World Cup season is,
because
it's like when I understand the fans in soccer, the fans in Formula One that stick to the TV, watching the heroes like going super fast, downhill is the thing.
Yeah. So, what you do for work? You.
Well, my title is product marketing manager for SRAM.
So.
I work for SRAM.
Yeah.
I work for the importer that brings SRAM here.
Product.
Marketing manager.
Marketing manager.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do sales?
Kind of. I go to different guys that buy from us
mm-hmm.
and we say, okay. You need this and you need that.
Gotcha.
And you need to get your mechanics trained.
So you're almost like a coordinator and manager.
Sort of. Also, the same company bring a few of the brands
mm-hmm.
and I help the different brand managers going the right way and also I'm usually in all the races with the race support and stuff like that. If I go to the race support with our staff, I usually race as well.
When everybody's
gone, it's like, okay, I want to have fun, so I'm going with them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh yeah, that shows that you you're the right man for the job, I think.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. So
I like to think that.
So, remind me, we were talking earlier about the different bike stores in the region that you help with. Which ones are they?
We work with Extreme Zone Cycles
mm-hmm.
bike shops that are owned by MKR. It is the company that I work for.
Okay.
And you see, in here, you say, okay, if there's a mall, how many bikes you could find in,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be finding probably 5-6 different bike shops
mm-hmm.
in this mall.
Yeah, mall. Small mall.
Yeah.
Of things that are related to MCR.
What?
Of the shops that are related to
just one.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So you can find like small mountains,
mm-hmm.
like, and you can find the Andes, like, I don't know, 40 minutes from here. I mean, the big Andes is just there. So
yeah, I walked.
Where are the foot of the Andes?
I walked up, not all the way, but I walked up the San Cristobal Hill,
mm-hmm.
and there are so many bikers around that region.
During the weekends, it's crazy.
Yeah,
I
mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
I would say it's dangerous. You know,
I could see
going down
how
fast, people was going up and down on the main.
And there's not
road.
Really a
no,
differentiation
no,
between
not,
up
not,
and down.
No,
it's just kind of a big
go,
constant
go and survive.
Flow.
There's a few like
that's what's exciting.
Going around of what not to do there.
Yeah,
and it just crashes there.
Oh gosh!
You know, with people that are like running,
bikers
into bikers.
Totally.
People that didn't brake on the course and just. Through and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So I ran into some guys who said that they do downhill, like down San Cristobal,
mm-hmm.
and they put their bikes on the bus, like on the back of the bus,
uh-huh.
and take it up.
They used to use the gondola.
But now it's only
up, but that dummies brought some bike rack from France.
Yeah.
That was probably secondhand. Yeah. It is for 26 inches bike. So you can fit a 27 or 29 by you put the fork backwards. That doesn't work with downhill bikes.
Right.
But you can go with your trail bike.
Okay.
And also you can, during the weekends, you cannot go there by car. But there's
today it was closed.
It's closed for cars, for sure. And they have a thing, it's called funicular. I don't know the word in English for that, but it's like a cable car.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like land cable car.
Yeah, you know, I don't know the word either.
It's a funny thing. And back in the day, we used to pay like forth and back, but we're using like forth and forth, you know, like going up and up.
That's smart.
Bought a bunch of tickets and going up using that thing.
Yeah, so then it's like a regular downhill part.
These days, there's like a few official trails there.
Yeah.
A few really good ones.
I was looking at the terrain and it looks pretty awesome.
The side that looks into the city is pretty steep.
Yeah.
And there's one of the trails like they call it Champéry. You know, like the one in Switzerland that is pretty steep. That it was famous like a long time ago in World Cup downhill.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. Probably it's not like that, but they call it like that.
Yeah. I mean, you have to name it after something, I guess.
That makes sense. You know?
Makes sense. Yeah. Steep. And have you ridden there?
Yeah, a few times.
Yeah? Is it dusty?
This time of year it's not that dusty.
No.
You can find dustier places
here.
Yeah,
okay.
There's two spots that you go into deep dust. It's like deep that you cannot see
cloud.
Your tire. You know? that deep.
Yeah. And is there like a prime bike season? Would you say it's like fall
for
spring?
For our is winter.
Winter
is awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm definitely a winter kind of rider. There is prime, like brown, dark brown.
Yeah,
pretty much
like
all the
loam.
Time.
Nice.
If it rains, there's a few trails that you can go right away. You know, like you don't have to be waiting.
Yeah,
and it's the best time of year. And there's few that you have to let the water
dry
settle
a little
in.
Bit more,
but winter for sure. Everything is green. Everything that you can see brown and gray now is green.
Because it's already quite green.
I can imagine it's
very lush.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And when you'll see later, but when you start going down south, like I don't know, 2 hours of green, everything starts getting greener and greener and greener.
Yeah.
You know? And you'll be impressed.
Yeah.
Be impressed with
Las
Trancas and
yeah.
Bon and
yeah,
you'll
I really
be,
I look forward to visiting the south there.
Well, it's pretty much Pucón and all these round areas are pretty much like where you live. It's like you'll see you'll like it.
Yeah. I feel very grateful to live where I do because I do like it a lot. Yeah.
I love your country and I love the place where you live. I've been there like a few times.
Yeah, you travel to Whistler every few years.
I've been there six times counting. And
six times,
My first time there was 92.
Okay.
For Mountain Bike Worlds in Bromont.
Okay.
Next to Quebec.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And
the east.
Yeah. The French side. Yeah. But that was my first time there, and six times on the other side, and definitely it's gonna be the last time. So
yeah.
I'm aiming to go again, hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the lineup is now with Crankworx and the festivals like that, but they seem to be coming back. Everything's coming back.
I think so.
So, how many times have you been to Crankworx in Whistler?
Six times.
Six. Okay, so every time
I've been there, it's been a little before Crankworx and I stayed a little after it.
Okay.
Like, usually it's like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
My biggest time there has been 2 weeks, I think.
Is it always for pleasure or do you go with athletes?
Usually, I've raced two of the Enduro World Series there.
Mm-hmm.
I've raced Garbanzo
race.
Nice. I've raced Canadian Open.
No way!
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And also the first 2 years I worked with the SRAM racetrack.
Nice. You know, totally.
Like working in the morning and then afternoons like just riding bikes.
Yeah.
You know, also awesome way to pay the trip. You know?
No doubt.
And have fun at the same time and learn at the same time.
Yeah. What was it like being in the Canadian Open? Like racing that.
The track is pretty gnarly.
Yeah, it is. I remember I used to go up there all the time.
Same kind of track that we have here, but the two times that I did it, it was wet. And
oh,
we don't have those kind of roots here.
The roots are gnarly.
You can find it down south, but it's not the same kind of roots. It's not the same kind of trees. So there's a lot of trees. The bike behavior is totally different.
Yeah, it's like go.
And no, it's not just the hits of the roots. When they get slippery, they can take you down and you don't even notice.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And did you ride toward the beginning of the race, or were you near the end of all the racers? Because I know the track can probably get pretty rutted out, right?
The two times I did was masterclass. Never raced in Canada as an elite, because I'm starting going there like old, mm-hmm. when I started going loser. All like I think the first time I was 37, I think, mm-hmm. And I would say it was in the middle of the ranks.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, there's a lot of racers, so if you start at the beginning, all the same guys were training the previous day.
Yeah.
So the tracks are blown away.
Right, already.
Blown out already.
Yeah. Totally, okay. So kind of back to Chile, are there any bike festivals like that in this region?
I would say there's a few kind of like that. Mm-hmm. One day show with I don't know, slalom, dirt jump,
nice.
Downhill, and cross country,
nice.
And I probably am forgetting one, but just everything in one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I would say it's more like Sierra Classic in California.
Okay,
it's like a trade show. You know,
gotcha.
You know, and also they held a few races.
Sure. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. More of a kind of conference plus.
Plus, short events, mm-hmm. like fun events to see. You know, like
little taste.
Pretty much of what mountain bike is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how would you say that you've seen more interest from larger companies in Chile, like bike companies? I know that you do the importing and distribution now. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it ramp up? Like, do you have more people that you work with?
The past few years, the amount of people riding mountain bike is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I was in Whistler was 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, like, that's 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I was there, I was amazed about how many cars had bike racks, about how many, I don't know, the Tacoma trucks were like, oh, I want one of those.
Oh my gosh,
you know? And I was blown away because every car had a freaking bike rack.
It's ridiculous.
And these days here, it's kind of the same. If you walk this area, it's like bike racks, tailpacks,
yeah.
You know?
Totally.
And it's like, huh, we're getting to that point, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm really proud of where we are getting, you know? And community is pretty healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bump into a mountain biker, it's like, good vibes all the time.
Totally,
you know?
Yeah. And usually mountain bikers have pretty good vibes.
Yeah, we're pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
I'd say so. And do you know much about the culture in Latin America in general?
I would say I have friends in, I don't know, Ecuador, mm-hmm. Argentina, Brazil.
Yeah.
And there's like some sort of like LATAM series of Shimano. They organize Shimano open races,
mm-hmm.
enduro and downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Best races of pretty much all the main countries in Latin America, like Brazil, Ecuador, Argentina, a few Peruvians, few Bolivians,
mm-hmm.
came to those races, or we go to those races because there are our main different countries, different countries.
Yeah.
And I would say it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the vibe is the same.
And when you say open race, what does that mean? Like, does that mean people who aren't professionals go?
Professionals and no professionals as well.
Okay,
you know,
so
it's
just
like
everyone.
All classes.
That's cool.
And it's like pretty much downhill or enduro.
Yeah.
Humanity don't organize cross country.
Do you have a personal opinion on what type of mountain biking is the best? Can I guess?
I'm definitely like gravity oriented. you know?
Downhill maybe.
Even though I really enjoy a good cross country race,
sure.
Like Olympic format, like short track, like short race, like 1 hour and a half race.
Yeah.
With technical trails.
Yeah.
No, freaking white roads. No, thank you.
Everyone trying to pass.
No. Have to be on trails.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know, I've been doing this like for so many years.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, keep yourself like fresh.
Yeah, totally.
Because you will be boring, you know, like, I don't know, I have a few bikes. And,
you gotta test the products.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And if you get bored with some of the bikes, you start using the other one, and you keep going. It's like a road bike or the e-bike or the pump track bike or the downhill bike. And I don't know, people ask me, okay, when do you use those bikes? I can give a little love to everyone, you know?
Yeah, spread the love.
Yeah, spread the love.
Yeah.
And it's like... I have the I feel lucky that I can do that.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
I live in a small apartment, this like 100 meter square apartment right now. And usually keep 2 or 3 bikes at the workshop, at the bike shop.
Yeah, yeah.
But we just came from vacation, so I haven't bring them to the bike shop, and pretty much all of them at the house.
That's
now,
funny.
So, yeah. My wife don't think so, but she's a rider too, so she cannot complain.
Yeah. Just trying to make your way to the bathroom at night, you're like, oh jeez,
three in the balcony. You open the doorway, it's like just there.
Boom.
Okay, this is a biker's house.
Yeah, that's good. That would be a good sign.
It's a good statement for sure.
Yeah.
And into a little song break here, we've got Cactus by Gustavo Cerati. He is an Argentinian-born artist, and this song is off his 2009 album, Fuerza Natural, which was his fifth and final album. He passed away in 2014. It is in Spanish. So if you don't understand, just get lost in the beautiful rhythms.
Un gato suaviza mis yemas con su piel. Tiene 100 años, solo florece una vez en tu nombre. En tu nombre. Y tiene un veneno más amargo que la hiel. Y con solo invocarte voy a convertirlo en miel. En tu nombre. En tu nombre. Cuando te busco no hay sitio en donde no estés. Oh. Los médanos serán témpanos en el vértigo de la eternidad y los pájaros serán árboles en lo idéntico de la soledad. Thank you.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
You're listening to Outdoor Pursuits with me, Jade Quinn McDonald. We're going to keep listening to my interview with Felipe Vasquez talking about bikes.
Yeah. So the picture you showed me this morning of your ride, the terrain looked crazy, like crazy mountain, no trees.
That picture is...
You said it was like the moon.
It's a 3,400 meters high.
Oh, wow. And that's ski resort.
That's La Parva ski resort.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah. It's the biggest rideable area in this side of Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's two chairlifts working. And in the morning, I did from 9 till 12:30, I did 3,000 meters vertical drop.
Wow.
Yeah, 29 Ks.
Yeah, gravity is your friend, eh?
Yeah.
Are there like open bowls that you can just ride down, or is it all trail?
That's up there, like as a bike park.
Mm-hmm.
And you have you can ride from top of the ski resort till turn one. And that's 2,500 meters vertical drop at once. One run. They do a race, and the winning time is I think 25 minutes.
So that's long.
Yeah,
that's a long descent.
That's big. 1,000 meters vertical drop. Yeah. But also, it's like a walk in the park.
Wow.
Because this one is like going down. It's like hard in your hands, hard in your arms.
Totally.
And hard mentally for sure.
Yeah, and that's the only kind of mountain riding I've done like that was in Ecuador.
Mm-hmm. What are volcanoes?
Yeah. So we went up like Chimborazo and Cotopaxi.
Okay.
And it was just a big bowl that you could just choose your route down, and it was pretty loose. I feel like what you showed me today looked pretty loose as well.
It is small rocks. But it's like man-made, so yeah. it's okay. you can find berms, you can find like nice. Like fun stuff, right?
Yeah.
There's a few areas that is dusty or gravelly.
Yeah.
And definitely not much.
But I remember
braking was really
scary. Yeah.
Braking is an issue.
Yeah.
But
braking is an issue.
Yeah, but there's a few parts that are like, you know, like bike parking.
Yeah.
So it's not hard all the time. So
yeah.
You kind of have like a rest moments on your way down. And you also have this on the same bike park areas, like a lot of like natural trails.
Nice.
That have been like touches, you know, like I don't know if you've been ridden in wizards, like I don't know, freight train or stuff like that.
More
like,
covered with foliage and stuff.
No, we don't have much big trees here,
right.
but the same kind of terrain, you know, like steepness and off cambers
and no much
support. You have to be a good rider to go and ride those trails.
Right.
But you can pick. I mean, my kids are like bike park rats, as I call them. Yeah. When they get into another trail, they like start like getting into trouble.
Yeah.
They can go fast on the bike park,
well, you know.
But I tell you, like, if you want to do good or you want to be a good mountain biker, you have to be able to ride everywhere. So.
And monkey see, monkey do, as they say.
Usually my big boy is 15 and he's I don't know, it's like it's hard to say, but it's like he have the skills, don't have the trust in himself, and he go with us because everybody's going, you know, in the family, but he's loving Aikido, and so he's doing that thing, like, you know, Aikido is like a Japanese martial art with some sort of sword and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's really cool.
It's like a bamboo sword, you know, like
no way.
Yeah, but and Amelia that is 8. Mm-hmm. She's crazy and she's loving it.
Nice.
Also loves horses though. Ah, I don't know. Bikes are
that's
cheaper
good.
Than
it's
horses.
Good to have a yeah, yeah, that's true. It's the riding gene.
So hopefully she kept on the bike for a longer time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's loving it.
So I think my mom mentioned you did something related with kids biking. Like, do you do clinics?
I used to live out of technical classes. Mm-hmm. I mean, these days you have the PMBA and you have all these institutions that teach guys how to teach.
Mm-hmm. So that's
I have been teaching since 1993, way before that.
Right.
And I'm one of those guys that eats mountain bike every day. I mean, it's mm-hmm. I mean, watching tutorials, seeing Pink Bike, seeing Vital MTV, and I'm super up to date with every new technology technique and stuff like that.
Man, I'd want to have you as my distributor.
I'm loving Bencathro clinics that they post on Pink Bike. You know, it's like okay, I cannot be more agree with how he teaches.
Yeah.
You
know? What's his name?
Bencathro.
Ben
Cathro.
Cathro.
Ben is from England. Uh-huh. He used to be a World Cup racer. He's still racing just now because mm-hmm. he organized with Pink Bike. They organized the Pink Bike World Cup team.
Okay. Oh,
you know,
wow.
Downhill team. When I was a pro, I used to survive as a pro because mm-hmm. we never really got paid for riding mountain bikes. But I survived doing classes.
Right.
And since 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. I organize training camp, like 1 week training camp for mountain bikers down in Neo de Chillán, in Las Trancas.
Okay.
You'll be there.
Yeah.
And
was it mostly oriented for kids?
No.
Nope,
we usually that week you can find, it's like an Andushandro thing. You can find kids from 10 years old. Mm-hmm. This is the minimum.
Yeah.
And all this that we had, I think it was 55 years old.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Wide range.
So and I don't know, we have usually from 30 to 50 campers.
Nice.
And I have a few more coaches with me.
Yeah.
And that's my way to keep like teaching lit.
Yeah.
In me and
good.
My way to give back
to
the community.
Well, we need people like you to instill your passion.
And
right?
A few of the years we had a few cool instructors, like among them Philippe Polk, like multiple time Paris Cerro Bajo winner.
Yeah.
He's from Slovakia, red athlete.
Okay.
Also Jerom Clements, the first Enduro World Series champion.
Wow.
And a few guys like them, you know, like
big names.
Yeah, yeah, and big names from here too, like national champions and Flores Pineda she's been coaching with me 3 times already.
Wow.
You know, before 2 years before she won the Pink Bike Academy and in the same year.
Wow, star-studded cast here.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
like
crazy.
You know, you have to have the best people with you if you want to do something cool, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good philosophy.
Yeah
so I guess kind of in closing here, do you have any hopes of what you want the culture to look like eventually in Chile as it keeps progressing? Like, would you want it to become more accessible cost-wise or kind of grow into more of an international destination?
As international destination, for sure. I mean, I think we already are.
I think so, too. That's what I'm gathering.
For people that like ski, or for people that like mountain biking, mm-hmm. for sure it's a destination. Mm-hmm. And more people are coming mm-hmm. during our summer, escaping from winter mm-hmm. to ride mountain bikes.
Here I am. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a few like iconic races like Valparaíso Cerro Bajo mm-hmm. that was held last weekend. And you see the star list and there's like 15 different countries, mm-hmm. you know, and some of the fastest riders on the planet. Mm-hmm. Hopefully more people into bikes.
Yeah.
Whatever, mountain bike, road bikes or whatever, but more people riding bikes.
Biking is just good, like whatever gets you moving. Whatever you love, you
to feel
you
the wind in your face and have the freedom to go anywhere with just leg power, you know.
Yeah, that's what I think would be great to share. Like, if bikes become more accessible and trails are just out your back door, then you know more people can start biking. And even the guys I was talking to today, one of them was saying that he really likes biking because when you're on the trails, sometimes, you know, your socioeconomic status just drops away and everyone is just biking and you're on the trails and all that matters is your skill.
Totally, yeah. Totally. These days you can find awesome bikes,
yeah,
for not much money.
Yeah.
Especially secondhand bikes.
Yeah.
I hear kids like complaining about, oh, this brakes not working, this suspension is like, yeah, kind of harsh.
You're like, oh,
it's like, oh shit up.
Yeah. You don't know what you got.
Yeah, I want to curse, but
no,
I can tell myself. but it's like, oh, father, yeah, is like, what are you saying? It's like, your brake is awesome. I started with something with no real brakes.
Mm-hmm.
They were probably slowing your speed,
yeah,
and not stopping.
Yeah.
You know, and tires that didn't work, tires that you had to be carrying two inner tubes to push every ride, because with the inner tubes, I mean, the sealant didn't exist,
uh-huh,
the tire inserts didn't exist,
yeah,
and the tires were shed. So
yep,
you got at least two flats every,
yeah,
ride. So you had to be a
maintenance guy.
Totally,
yeah,
totally, on the trail.
Yeah.
And when kids are complaining about their 3K
mm-hmm
bikes,
yeah,
he's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's not, that's,
yeah,
stop complaining, you know, like, you are really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few friends, and one friend, mainly at the ceramic state, that said, okay, everyone that race downhill in the 90s is lucky to be alive. You know? And
yeah.
And kids these days don't realize what they have.
The technology
and how
is pretty
cool
crazy.
Technology have
yeah,
brought us.
Yeah.
You know, like, bikes these days are unbelievable.
Yeah. Even I remember not that long ago when I started biking, the seat post.
Dropper seats.
Post,
yeah.
I remember before dropper seats existed, it was just such a long process. Everyone would stop, put your seat up for the uphill, and then when you get up there, you stop, and then boop.
That didn't do that,
yeah,
you know, like cross-country guys,
yeah,
were risking their lives on the way down. It's,
yeah,
like, okay,
just
I'm
a super high seat.
Go. I'm gonna die now, you know, like.
Yeah. Anyway, well, yeah, I think Chile has a rich biking culture that's just gonna keep getting richer.
Hopefully,
seems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
well,
more and
thank
more
you so
yeah
much. This was
my
great
pleasure.
Chat. Yeah. And now we're gonna go take a tour.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a tour of Mallsport. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Tune in next time.